IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Shooting Space, the podcast where I, your host, Tari Candemiri, aka Official Lax Girl, talk about what's happening in lacrosse. I have a really, really special guest on today's episode, one of my best friends and someone that I've met through lacrosse who's become so integral to my life, my friend Alex Powers. So before Alex introduces herself, a little bit of background, and we'll talk more deeply about how we met, things like that. So I'll save all those good details for later. But Alex and I are fresh out of our trip to LaxCon, which was in Philly this weekend. And we had a blast, got to meet a lot of really great people, see a lot of really cool stuff. So that's what we're going to talk about today in conjunction with talking about the wonders of lacrosse Twitter and how it brought us together. Alex, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tari.
Of course.
Thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
Of course.
It really just made my heart smile.
Yeah, you're welcome. I didn't even hit all the highlights, though. So do you want to do a little highlight reel for yourself? Tell us what's good.
Yeah, so as you said, we met on Twitter. I played college lacrosse at Reiner University, which is a very small NAIA school north of Georgia. I played lacrosse for about 9 years. I am an avid attacker. I love everything attack related. And I am now on the coaching path. Nice. And loving it. I've been coaching for like 5 years, and it's really just brought a lot of joy just still being able to be involved. Mm-hmm. And watching my girls grow and develop, and how much they love like my input of having played college lacrosse, because it's not something that's very common where I'm from.
Right.
So lacrosse has definitely become a very important part of my life as well. And yeah, I just love the friendship and the things that it's brought me.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a great intro, Alex. It's just so crazy, our journey, right? So I guess some people know the inception of my account sophomore year. I'll probably need to do a whole episode about this, but freshman year when I started playing, I really loved lacrosse. And then sophomore year, or right before sophomore season, is when I created my Twitter account. And one of the first people I followed and followed me back was this girl named Lax Confessions. And that was Alex. And we would just talk back and forth about lacrosse and just our daily lives and our teams and crazy things that were happening to us. So, Alex, do you remember anything about those like early Twitter days? I don't even know how many years ago that was. Like, you do the math.
Probably like 8 years ago.
Yeah, just about 8 years ago.
Definitely going on like 8 or 9 years of friendship.
It's just crazy.
It was right around the same time that I started playing lacrosse and everything.
Right.
So it was definitely a while ago. I just remember talking about like the struggles that we had, especially those, just the things that we really could relate to with each other about being African-American lacrosse players.
Mm-hmm.
And just being new to lacrosse in general,
right?
In spaces where, you know, people around us have been playing lacrosse for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was just something huge that brought us together, because, you know, you're from Maryland and it's so popular up there. Like,
right.
I feel like people up there start playing when they're so young, and where I'm from, a lot of girls who start playing lacrosse also start playing when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us to kind of jump in high school,
right,
was hard.
Yeah, it was so
and just sharing
different.
Their struggles with each other.
Yeah,
made it a lot easier.
Absolutely. And yeah, it's really cool. I feel like we were able to kind of cultivate this like just super free friendship, because neither one of us knew the teams we were talking about. Neither one of us knew the coaches or anyone, whether it was positive or negative or whatever was happening. It was just a way for us to vent. And I think that's what really attracted me to like hashtag Lax Twitter, was the freedom of it. Like, and not that I ever said anything, I don't think I ever said anything negative or malicious or anything about my team, but it was just, you know, if I was really tired that day, I'm like, dang, like we ran so much today, I gotta complain about this. Like the freedom to do that was there. So kind of touch on that, like what attracted you to being super active in lacrosse Twitter and kind of on Twitter in general?
Well, the one thing about lacrosse that, like, really drew me in was just how open and easily accessible it was. And I found that through social media that just made it even easier. Mm-hmm. Being able to, like, reach out and connect with bigger names in lacrosse was definitely something that, like, drew me to just being active in lacrosse Twitter.
Right.
And the friendships that were able to be formed. I mean, before I even went to college, I knew girls from almost every school in our conference. And it was refreshing whenever we went to go to play teams to be able to talk to the girls beforehand.
Right.
Or, you know, after the game, you know, we chatted it up regardless of the outcome because we knew each other. We had established a relationship. And no matter the outcome, win or loss, we were sharing stuff about, like, our teams and what had been going on through the season, some new stuff that we had learned. And it was never, like, a secretive, like, oh, you know, it's me against you kind of thing.
Right.
It always just felt more like a family than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's awesome. And it's really cool that you were able to have those connections before you got to college, of knowing, you know, people that were potentially going to be your teammates or people that ended up being your teammates. It's such an open community, and it's super funny. I don't really think of myself as, like, a veteran of any specific community, but to just think about, I mean, back in the day, like, we were tweeting some really funny stuff.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I get embarrassed because I think about it and I'm like,
something about, like, the things, like how you know you're a lax bro, and it was just like four pictures, and I remember it got retweeted by Paul Rabel, and I was just freaking out.
You're like, I made it, mama, I made it, I'm famous. Yeah, meanwhile, I was literally running the biggest insert name of player here fan club. Not that I'm embarrassed about those days. I think my beginnings were very humble. Like, I hope people don't look at my Twitter and they're like, wow, this polished, like, super pro women in athletics, you know, young woman who's just crushing. No, y'all, I was a fan. It was a fan account, okay? I was tweeting up a storm back in the day. But yeah, it's so awesome. I think it's really cool because there's kind of a progression now, like, along with all our everyone's really funny tweets and memes and things. It's a really cool educational tool too. Like, I've seen it kind of evolve, at least in my eyes, to become a really great way to share tips about coaching, playing, like, clips, really elevating, you know, women's lacrosse players, like, making sure that those platforms are there to highlight the success of women in our sport too. So yeah, it's been really awesome. Like, what are some of the changes that you've seen to the social media landscape for lacrosse, including Instagram too, because I know you're pretty active on that as well?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things and one of my favorite things is just the development of the videos, the quality of videos that have been posted. From when I started to now, like, you know, with lacrosse, we're not a common sport, so you turn on ESPN and you weren't really going to see it.
Right.
But when you go to Twitter and, you know, you follow the right channels and the right people, it pops up constantly. Mm-hmm. So being able to see all those videos and highlights, that was something that was huge for me.
Yeah.
That really helped me develop my game because just being able to see these videos, these easy 10-15 second clips of what these big name college players were doing, that just helped me evolve my game even more because I was able to model and do things after them in my own backyard.
Right.
And I think that was definitely for me one of the biggest things, was just watching how those clips evolved and, you know, going from not being able to see it on ESPN to being able to see it on your Instagram feed within, like, the first five things you see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That was great for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, it's really cool, like, just seeing everyone interact and seeing how fast we're sharing information. And I think that's the best part, is it's kind of a no filter community in essence. Like you said, the speed of availability of clips, right? If you see something cool on ESPN or during a game, like 5-10 minutes later, it's on Twitter, it's on LSN, it's wherever, and people have easier access to it. And I think you mentioned something earlier too that I kind of want to touch on, is the accessibility of our heroes, of our stars. It's really awesome that a couple of people that we've looked up to for so long are now, you know, some of our trusted advisors, really good friends that we have, people we can turn to for advice and things like that. And I'm so thankful for Twitter, because I have, you know, friendship with you, friendship with other people, and really good mentors that I can look up to and say, like, okay, this is how this person navigates the situation. And it's a little bit different. I don't think some of the other sports necessarily have that, depending on their size. So accessibility is, like, another really, really cool thing that's brought about. So
right, definitely. I definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just talking the other day about how big sports like football and baseball and things like that, like, they, I mean, you really can't reach out to you know, the big name players and coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, but you're going to be one of thousands.
Right.
I mean, hundreds of thousands.
That's deep in the DMs. Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. And kind of thinking, I guess, moving into the story of like how we met in person. I think it was the 2013. Yeah, 2013 or 14 national championship. And we, I literally was looking. You know what? Maybe I'll make the picture that we took together. I'll ask for that to be the picture that's on this podcast episode. We were so tiny. We were babies. I was looking on my Instagram yesterday, my old Instagram, and it was you, me, I think the guy who was Lacrosse Wonka, maybe. And
you're thinking about Jake, and I can't remember what his Twitter handle.
Oh, Jake, if you're listening to this, tweet us and remind us what your old username was, because I know your new one, but I can't remember the old one. But yeah, oh my gosh. And I remember I like did my makeup. I was like, I'm gonna look so good at this national championship. And wore gold eyeshadow. Y'all can't let me out the house like that.
To this day, I'm
matching blue and orange, Syracuse head to toe, Syracuse gang, because I was supporting my out of control. But that was our first time meeting in person, which is so crazy. Like, I mean, as someone who, you know, knows the ins and outs of the internet, I really should have been like, no, I can't meet you on in person, internet best friend. But we're like, nope, we're going to meet. Like, this is happening.
I mean, and I remember telling my parents, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go meet this girl that I've been talking to online for like 2-3 years. And they're sitting there like, are you sure it's even a girl? Why would you think this is a good idea?
Right.
I was like, no, it's all fine. It's all
right.
Fine.
No, yeah, it's totally fine. Like, cool. Right. There's nothing sketchy about this at all, aside from the fact that it actually could be very sketchy. But anyway, I digress. It all worked out. And we had such a blast. I remember I got to meet Michelle Tumalo, and I was so happy and so emotional about that. We got a pic with Dominic Lemolinier. My tongue is like not working. We got a pic, and we were really excited and felt so cool. And it was just such an awesome experience. And like, I think that was around the time, I guess, where I like posted pictures of myself so people knew what I look like and would come up to me and like say hi. And I just felt so cool to be like, oh, like I made all these friends online, and you know, now I get to meet them. So that was, it always sticks out as one of my favorite memories, because we've come so far, not just in terms of, you know, our, I think, our coaching and playing lives, but just in life in general too. Like, it's kind of a fun story to get to look back on and say, whoa, like that's how I met one of my best friends.
And I think it's funny, because one of the things that I remember the most about that whole trip and that being able to meet you for the first time was that I remember that I texted you about the fact that I was wanting to buy the new SCX Crux when it had just come out. Mm-hmm. And I was showing up to the game late, and I asked you if there was any way that you could go and snag me one and save me one. And I remember that you were able to like go and like hold on to one for me, because they were going so quickly.
I got
and
you.
I just thought that was like so amazing. And I knew then and there that you were going to be my best friend for the rest of my life.
Friends for life. Always, always. I got you. Whatever you need. Whether it's lemon pepper wings from JR Crickets, which I really love. I love me some lemon pepper wings. Or a Crux. I got you. Whatever you need. And then kind of fast forward a couple years. So for those listening, Alex mentioned it earlier. But I was born in Zimbabwe. Fast forward a couple years. My family moves to Maryland. Went to half of elementary school, middle school, high school in Maryland. And then I ended up moving to Atlanta. And so Alex lives in Atlanta, and really, I think you were like one of two people maybe that I knew that lived here, but I was like, oh, I'm going to be fine in Atlanta because my friend Alex lives there. Like, this girl that I've met once in my life lives in Atlanta, and we're going to be best friends, and it's totally fine. Like, there's nothing scary about this at all. And so coming as an intern and living in, you know, an apartment in Midtown by myself, like, I didn't know anyone, but I knew you, and I knew your family was here, and it just, I felt so at peace to be like, you know what, like, I'm okay. If something happens, if something really pops off, I'm just going to call Alex's parents and they'll come help me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I remember telling my mom that you were moving down here, and she was like, well, make sure that she knows if anything ever happens, mm-hmm. she can always come and stay with us. And I was like, Mom, she knows, she knows.
Yep. Yeah. It's really awesome. And I think it's such an interesting perspective on quote unquote internet friendships, right? Like, with the advancement of technology, and this goes like beyond Lacrosse Twitter and whatever, we have so much more ability to get to know each other. And I think it kind of goes both ways, right? Like, you might not always know everything about someone, but I feel like for us, we just clicked so well. We like felt like we could share anything. Like, I can text you anything and, you know, get advice on anything. And so, I don't know, technology has been really influential in helping make a lot of things happen. And I'm glad that, when I came here, I knew I didn't need to be scared because I had an adventure buddy, which you've proven to be an adventure buddy. We won't dive in too much about that because, you know, that's for another day. But yeah, so that's an intro into our friendship. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited to see you continue to grow as a coach, as a teacher, and anything that you want to do. And I'm excited for summer because we're going to learn how to rollerblade, and we're going to rollerblade in Piedmont Park and down the Beltline. And it's going to be great. And we're going to go viral. It's going to be awesome. And so this weekend, we were at LaxCon. Woo-woo! Hashtag LaxCon 2020. Yes. And we had a blast. So you got there a little bit earlier than me. And then I got there. And y'all was just tired. I was so sleepy. I watched NCIS and then I fell asleep. But I was there present on Friday. And then we got to go and network with people, which was really, really fun. And I think as I was thinking about what kind of to talk about or, you know, what topics to bring up for the next podcast, I really wanted to talk about the people that we got to meet and the conversations we had, because I feel like we had such a good experience at LaxCon.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was really different for me because it was my first LaxCon. I'd never been to one before. So I really didn't know exactly what to expect. I've never even been to really a conference. So I wasn't exactly knowing what to expect. And I think going in with you to that networking event on Friday made me feel so much better. Just getting to meet different coaches in different areas and talk about the way that they run their programs and things like that just gave me so many ideas that I can't wait to bring to my program. And I mean, I was just over the moon. It was an amazing experience that, like, I won't forget.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's so cool to be in a room with, like, literally 100 plus people that are just as passionate about something as you are and are from different walks of life, whether, you know, they played at the division level or they coach or whatever the case may be. Like, that room was filled with so many people from different cities, different places. It was really awesome. Like, you couldn't walk, you know, 10 feet without meeting someone who wanted to ask you about where you coach or, you know, make connection, have business card, things like that. And it just, there was so much positive, really good energy at the networking event. And I just absolutely loved it. It was like the perfect way to start our, you know, LaxCon experience, because already you could feel like people were there with such great intentions and really wanted to learn.
Definitely.
Yeah. And going a little bit into Saturday. Full disclosure, everyone, we didn't attend the same session, so I'll kind of talk about mine and Alex talk about the one she did, but we did have some overlap. And I think the first, I guess our first same session that we attended was the diversity and inclusion or creating an inclusive culture on and off the field panel on Saturday morning. And that was a really, really great panel. I think I was talking to, I can't remember exactly who we're talking to about this, but they mentioned that, you know, comparing it to last year, because there was a similar panel last year at the LaxCon, it seemed like this room had an even more diverse makeup of people. And so they felt like the content of the panel really hit home because there were more people. So, like, what did you think about, you know, the attendance that was in the room?
Yeah, it definitely was really diverse. I mean, you looked around and you saw people of all different races, different ages, and it was just really refreshing to see that so many people had willingly volunteered to come and talk about a subject that's not very easy to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a couple people even brought up the fact that, you know, this is a topic that makes people uncomfortable.
Right.
Is how to make sure that we're getting everyone included and everyone involved in a sport that hasn't been very inclusive in the past.
Right.
So I think that it was a great job for the panel, and I really hope that in the future they think about making it even into a longer panel, because the content is definitely there for that, and the curiosity even was there for that too. So I definitely think that even maybe an hour and a half session to a 2-hour session would be an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, definitely. It seemed like with each question and each, you know, audience response, there was always like another topic stemming off of that related to diversity and inclusion. And even at the end, like, we're all itching to raise our hands up and be like, we got something to say. Like, please don't end the panel. We got to talk. So I'm definitely with you on making it longer. And just to give y'all an idea of kind of the makeup of the panel. So the panel was made up of four different people that were there. So we had Kyle Harrison, who Alex and I really look up to. Shout out to Kyle. He is a really, really great advisor and kind of person that, you know, we look up to within the sport. We had Jeremy Ardy, who is in charge of Nation United Lacrosse Club. And we had Danielle Epler, who was there representing kind of the PLL and talking about her experience as a Mexican-American woman, which was really awesome. And she and I had kind of a STEM of experience. And then another representative from the PLL discussing her work within kind of doing diversity and inclusion workshops and helping companies from an internal perspective really understand the importance of diversity and inclusion and how to build that culture within their companies and within the people that they work with. So just a really, really great panel. I felt like it represented the diversity really well of the different people that were in the room. Everyone was represented. And what I really enjoyed the most, and I'm curious what you think about this too, is I think the angle that was taken for the panel was very interesting. A lot of the conversations when they occur, I think, usually have race as like the front and center, you know, this is what we're going to talk about in this diversity and inclusion panel. But for this one, they focused on race, gender, socioeconomic class, language barriers, like everything that could be a barrier to enter the sport of lacrosse. We talked about it.
I mean, it was like, it's one of the very first topics that we talked about was the LGBTQ community and the rates that they have in sports and how that's affecting them as a whole when they go outside of sports. And I thought that was really interesting to see how that discussion was brought up and handled, because it wasn't even something that had crossed my mind to that point. And I feel bad for even saying that, but it wasn't something that crossed my mind, and I'm glad that that panel brought it to my attention. Knowing how many teammates that I've had who've come out or have struggled with coming out, and not even thinking about any of my girls who possibly could, as I'm coaching. So that was definitely something that I needed to see, and hopefully that a lot of other people needed to see as well.
Yeah.
And how we can create that community to be inclusive and accepting for them, and how we can help them move on even with a life after sports.
Yeah, definitely. And there's always so much to unpack in conversations like this, but I think it was done in, you know, everyone who came there, even if they weren't from a particular group that was discussed, their questions and their curiosity and their interest was so genuine of like, coaches really want to make their teams better. You know, the people that attended wanted to make their teams more inclusive and more open and more welcoming. One of the interesting things that I took away from was the mention of, oh, you know, we're trying to reach out to people in certain neighborhoods and so certain socioeconomic classes, but we're not really getting a response from them, or we're not getting a response from parents, things like that. And there was a coach that stood up and said, you know, like, I just ask my players and I ask my parents, how can I help you? You know, what can I do to make it easier for your child and for your, you know, for you to want to stay, for you to want to send your child to my practice? And she mentioned that she started adjusting practice schedules. She's like, you know, some of my girls have to work after school, so we practice in the morning. Or, you know, some of them need to be home to pick up their siblings from school, so we practice a little bit later at night. Like, all these things that I think we don't even really discuss that much in sports in general. Of like, oh, like, some of these players are going through a lot, you know, to see a coach really delving even deeper and going a level deeper to make sure that her players were taken care of and like knew that she cared. That to me just spoke volumes. Like, that is the epitome of a coach that cares.
I mean, and we think about it with, I mean, a sport like football, which in most high schools in the fall, football is one of the only sports that's on the field after school. So, I mean, they generally take the time slot for practice that's right after school. Well, we're not even thinking about, like, what if some of these kids need to go to work or have a job or something like that.
Right.
So, like, it was interesting that she brought up that she changes her practice times each season to better adjust to the girls and the parents, just seeing what she can do to help. And I thought that was interesting that, you know, she was adjusting each and every season and thinking about how that difference would impact a lot of these other sports that maybe don't even, that, you know, of course we didn't think about it, but maybe some of those sports that don't think about it either. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was honestly next tier of showing that you care and showing that you're doing your best to make sure that everyone can be included.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think maybe that's one of kind of the perks of our sport in some way is, you know, the size allows us to have a little more, I feel like these conversations can be a little more wide reaching because information can move around a little bit faster, right? Or at least as we try to build our sport, as we're looking for ways to grow, we understand and identify this is one of the ways to grow. And we, as we grow, we follow this blueprint of wanting to include as many people as possible because we know that it's instrumental to our growth. Whereas some sports that are already bigger, you know, because they've already grown, they don't really have to implement those things to grow. It's just kind of implementing to catch up with the times.
Right, right.
Another thing, too, that I thought was really interesting, and I think Daniela is the one that brought this up, was I think sometimes the view of diversity and inclusion in general is like, oh, well, you're just, you know, bringing people on because you have to meet quotas and, you know, we just want to make our numbers look good. But she mentioned, she's like, well, how do you know that this, you know, person that you're bringing in from a different group isn't the next best, you know, athlete in that sport? How do you know that they're not, like, they could make your sport exponentially better? They will make your sport exponentially better if you're bringing in so many different people from different places. Like, that just increases camaraderie. You're bringing in athletes, like, you're just making your team better by being more diverse. And I think that's a really important point and great way to look at it too, is like, the more people you have, the better. You know, your team is just getting better. It's growing. You're all learning. Like, it's really just positive outcomes that can come from being a diverse team.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, in high school, our guys lacrosse team made a more conscious effort to try to reach out to those guys who are playing fall and winter sports like football and basketball and trying to get them on the team. And, I mean, it was interesting to see that our team changed racially and how much more talent they had because they were including these guys who, although they may not have ever picked up a lacrosse stick, they had a great defensive mindset. Mm-hmm. Or they really knew how to cut and things like that, and it just changed the whole dynamic and the whole structure of the team because they now were adding in these skills that, I mean, that wasn't even the main goal. The main goal was, you know, just to try to get some of these guys to continue to do sports, to keep up their conditioning in the off season, and they wound up growing and becoming better than what they thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, if we start thinking about that aspect, there's no telling how far our sport can go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we've talked about the passion that I felt in my session. What about you? What was your favorite session from the weekend?
For me, I went to a lot of sessions about teaching preschoolers lacrosse because I am currently a preschool teacher, and I love getting my kids active, and I would one day love to get lacrosse sticks in their hands if I could, you know, ever get enough sticks for them to actually play with. So I went to a session on Saturday morning. I think it was the very first session I went to on Saturday morning, and it was watching a group was called Scoops, based out of New England somewhere, and they had a bunch of children, I think they are from 3 to 8, doing basically a practice in the morning. Mm-hmm. And the main instructor had so much energy. You could tell that there was so much passion in his heart. And it wasn't just for lacrosse, it was for the kids, because he was constantly playing games with them and making sure that they were okay and giving them sufficient water breaks. Mm-hmm. And just engaging with them on a level that, as a preschool teacher, I really appreciated, because it can be hard when you're teaching smaller children to get them to stay focused. And he was like, nope, I don't care if you're not focused. We're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. And if you're not focused, we're going to take a dance break, and then we're going to go back, and we're going to roar like animals, and then you're going to throw balls at me, and then we're going to do this. And it was just, like, he just kept jumping all over the place, and the kids were in love with it. That's, I feel, awesome. Like, so often, like, with teaching little kids, it's so easy to get frustrated, and he was not at all.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds really awesome. I could have definitely used a dance break, so I probably should have attended that session too, because I really would have enjoyed that. But no, that's really awesome. And I love that. It's like a cool contrast because there were so many different sessions available for so many different age groups, whether it was, you know, sit down, listen to panels, you know, moving around, seeing demos. So that sounds really, really cool. And that it's so cool to see the different ways that we're introducing the sport to younger players and how we're kind of meeting them at their level, right? Like, level appropriate coaching, understanding what your players need and what they want is they just want to play. They want to have fun. Like, definitely, that's what they're there for. And having coached, I did a summer of coaching 6-year-olds, and it was hilarious, very fun. Attention spans varied widely, but fun was the constant. And it's so rewarding, right? Like, when you see your players kind of start to catch on to the game, and whether it's like scooping the ball, which they love, like, I don't know what it is. Little ones love ground balls. Like, I think if we just start really, really early teaching the importance of ground balls and, like, keep instilling that, ground balls would be perfect all around. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, no, that's awesome that you got to go to that session. And what did you think of the fan fest? Because that was also, like, the other thing that to me was like, whoa, this is insane.
I mean, I thought it was so awesome that all these younger kids were getting to come in and meet all these people that they absolutely idolized.
Yes.
Just seeing all these young kids just absolutely sprinting and bolting out to people like Matt Rambo.
Yeah.
And Miles Jones was honestly hilarious because they were so excited, like, they couldn't even contain themselves. And I think that that's a major difference between our sport and almost every other sport, is that we have access to these big name players.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's pretty much, if you go to an event, you're pretty much guaranteed to meet one of them. And I think that's so much more different than any other sport. And that really, I mean, the Fan Fest was awesome. I was just so happy for these kids getting to, you know, meet these big people that they really, really model their game after and love. So
yeah,
that was, I mean, it was just great for me.
Absolutely, yeah. And by kids, she also means me, because I'm so excited. I got a picture with Paul and Gary Gate, and it was like the coolest thing ever. I was so nervous. I'm like, okay, serious face, like, be a grown up, about to shake their hands, like, this is, you know, obviously people that I look up to, and in terms of not only as players but as business people, and them launching or relaunching Gate Lacrosse, which is so cool. And yeah, it's fun to, I feel like, as I've kind of gone through the cycles of my journey as a player and as a coach and fan of the game, right? Like, a lot of players that I looked up to in the past, and obviously still like look up to today, are also kind of peers in some way, or peers within the game, or and it's interesting because I still get really, really excited when I meet them. Like, I'm still like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, so and so player. And in my head, I'm like, okay, like, we're almost the same age, and we both work within lacrosse, kind of, them more than me, but basically, yes.
Like, you're trying to tell yourself, you know, play.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, be cool, but I'm like, I can't do it. I'm a fan of the game. Like, I can't help it. Like, you know, first person that comes to mind is Dana Dobie, and I guess I've only met her twice, but we interact a lot on the socials. You know, I comment and repost her and stuff because she's awesome. But yeah, Dana is obviously a phenomenal player and phenomenal coach, and it's always so cool to run into her. Taylor Cummings, I mean, another great player. I got to meet Kylie Ullmiller for the first time, and it's like, I feel like one of the first things I said was like, congratulations on all your success. Like, you know, you're legit. Like, everyone loves you. This is so cool. So yeah, it's something that I'm really thankful for, and I'm sure you feel the same of, like, we really get to interact with such amazing people and get to learn from them. So
yeah,
that's always,
I mean,
really
one
fun.
One of the last sessions that I went to on Saturday was I got to go watch Sammy Joe Tracy teach about the draw.
Mm-hmm.
And like, growing up being in high school, UNC was like my favorite team ever. Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't tell me anything about UNC. Like,
no.
Every year I was like, UNC's won the national championship. And I idolized Sammy Joe Tracy. I absolutely loved her. So getting to watch her and seeing the energy that she brought to her session.
Mm-hmm.
About the draw, and especially knowing that the draw is not my biggest forte.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so over the moon to be able to learn from her.
Yeah.
In that setting, and the energy that she brought, you could tell that she was so passionate and so ready and excited to be there. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It's really awesome. Like, I love how, LaxCon is this platform for players and coaches to teach and like kind of elevate their brands too. Like, you're legit, right? Like, here at LaxCon, you are a star in your field and you get to teach something that you've kind of crafted as like your top skill. You get to teach it to other people, and I'm sure it's so gratifying for them too. But yeah, like, shout out to US Lacrosse for giving players a really great platform to show their skills and get to meet people that look up to them. So
right, it's definitely, you know, it's not even just all about the players. I mean, there's so many coaches that like, they're not, you know, the big D1 coaches that you know, we know. There were coaches from D2 programs, just, you know, the programs that teach lacrosse to high school, you know, just things of that nature, who weren't coaching at the college level, who were coming in and talking about things that they've done that have been successful,
right?
Which, as a high school coach, was beneficial for me, because, you know, not everything that a college coach that they can implement in college, you can't always implement that with some of your high school roles. So it was so nice to see the level of complexity that ranged within the sessions. You know, some sessions were just so complex, and some were so simple that, you know, you could teach it from anywhere, from, you know, those younger students that you, the younger players that you teach, to even the high schoolers and college girls, because sometimes you need to go back to basics. So that was really awesome as well. So shout out to US Lacrosse for not only going with the high profile names, but for some of those unknown names that definitely still deserve recognition, because they're out there teaching these tactics that are getting these girls to the higher level. So
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It's showing that, you know, you can make an impact, no matter what, no matter your background or your name or, you know, whatever it is. There's so many different ways to make an impact. So yeah, lots of good lessons from LaxCon. And I ate a lot of cheesesteaks, as you know.
Yes.
I was really happy about that because I love the cheesesteaks so much.
I think I had like 3 the whole weekend.
But we didn't make it to the Rocky Steps.
So it was like one day, right?
Right. But we didn't make it to the Rocky Steps. Everybody else made it except for us.
We were kind of slacking. It's all right.
Next time. Sorry, Rocky. Sorry, Rocky. We got you next time. Yeah, so I guess kind of looking forward, you know, we both live in the A, and can I call it that? Can I call it the A? Because last time,
I guess you're still pronouncing both T's. We gotta work.
I know, because I was just about to say Alex laughed at me. But I can't help it, Atlanta. Like, I have to say Atlanta, but you say Atlanta.
Atlanta, that's it.
Just Atlanta. Ooh, it just it sounds wrong. Not wrong, not wrong. It just sounds different. But you know, it's something. Ooh, and we're about to get real, real at the end of this podcast. Okay, real, real with y'all. Something that a lot of people have mentioned, especially in our region, right? So I live, my zip code, I'm right in the city, and a lot of people mention, okay, like, we really need coaches like right in the city, or, you know, in some of the different zip codes that are really close to the city, really close to downtown, etc., because a lot of the lacrosse that's being played is outside the perimeter, outside of the city of Atlanta. And it's tough. So, you know, I have my job that I really love, and, you know, work a lot, doing a lot of different things. And so one of the things that I'm putting on myself is, like, I want to figure out a way to get really involved and coach within the city, because I see the importance of that. And I see, you know, it's detrimental that there's not more opportunities for players here as there maybe there are outside of the perimeter. And so I really want to put that on myself to, like, okay, girl, get it together, like, get that scheduling together, give back to the community, because I think lacrosse, you know, is so fantastic, and I want to get involved in my new community and be a coach. So that's my takeaway from all the conversations that I've had this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Being a high school coach already, it just made me want to do more. Just trying to figure out what else I can do. And, you know, one of my big goals is to be able to open up a place for children who live in underprivileged areas to go and have access to sports like lacrosse. And, you know, I'm not going to dive into that because, you know, that's my secret passion. You can't just be sharing all my secrets.
Right, can't spill all the beans.
That's just something that really interests me. So that kind of helped me with figuring out how to further that goal.
Right.
Yeah, I'm excited for that dream to come true one of these days. But yeah, definitely, I agree.
Yeah, and you know, so you obviously are born and raised here. Talk a little bit about the landscape of lacrosse in Georgia, and like what kind of opportunities that you see within the city that need to be filled.
I'm sorry, one more time.
You know, being someone from the region, like, talk about kind of lacrosse in our area, and then what, like, opportunities you think that need to be filled?
Yeah. So growing up here, I've watched lacrosse grow in the past couple of years. Being that, you know, living in Metro Atlanta, my team has had to travel as far as Augusta, which is about an hour and a half out, to play games, because those were two teams that were scheduled in our region because there weren't none. So seeing how many schools have now developed and just really grown their lacrosse program has been awesome. Mm-hmm. I think we've really grown from having, you know, maybe, you know, a handful of teams inside the perimeter, you know, which is inside of the city of Atlanta, to having so many teams even inside Atlanta and right outside of Atlanta as well. Mm-hmm. One of my roommates in college actually came from a school that's about 45 minutes away from me that I didn't even realize had lacrosse.
Wow.
And I think that was just one of the really big eye-opening moments for me. But yeah, you're definitely, it's finding those good coaches who are passionate and ready to play and ready to coach in these areas. It can be difficult because as lacrosse, it wasn't popular, you know, 5-10 years ago. Trying to find coaches now has become a little bit more of a challenge. But so if you're ever looking to coach, Atlanta's always needing coaches. Mm-hmm. Always good vacancies to fill, and programs that are growing and becoming better every year.
Right.
Not even to shout out my own program, but my high school girls program went from, you know, we went to the state playoffs. We've gone, you know, the past couple of years, and we've always made it to the first round. And last year, for the first time ever, we made it to the second round.
Hey.
And that was huge for us. I mean, it didn't even matter that the final score, but just the fact that we had made it to the second round.
Absolutely.
Showed that we were progressing and growing in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's the awesome thing is, you know, every day coaches coming, you know, excited to help their players grow, help them learn, and making that progression. So shout out to y'all for doing that, and to you and your fellow coaches making that happen. I'm excited to celebrate, cheer y'all on again this season. I'm gonna make it to a game. I'm gonna be extra loud. But yeah, that's super exciting that there's so much opportunity out there and so many good things for us to do. I'm excited for our leagues again, for those that are in Atlanta and want to play. There's a spring and summer women's and men's league. I will be making my return to women's lacrosse in the spring.
Because you cannot be taking any more shots to the leg anymore.
Like, I can't do it. I can't. Literally, my leg is purple. I never bruise. And here we are. I didn't even see it coming. Y'all, the boxes, it's great. It's going really well. But, you know, your girl just wasn't, her head was not on a swivel because that's a lot of work. I actually think my own teammate hit me, so.
Oh, yeah, your head really wasn't on a swivel.
But anyway, I don't really remember. All I remember is the pain that I felt. But no, it's been super fun. And maybe I'll throw on a helmet for old time's sake during the spring. But I cannot be out there in that men's lacrosse gear in the summer. I'm not dying of heat stroke. It's not happening. It is too hot. That's another thing that I have beef with, honestly, about Georgia, is it is hot AF in the summer. And these men are out there in that gear. Couldn't be me.
Yes, no, could not be me.
I'm already hot in box. I do two sprints and I'm like waving, asking for sub number one to go in. Because it's too much. So I can't even imagine with that heat. But I'm excited for our league to start and for us to be back on the field again together. I feel like it's so much fun to see everyone each year and to just play and like to play together. Because you and I obviously didn't get a chance to play together before. But we've had a chance to be on the same team. We've had a chance to be on opposite teams. And yeah, I feel like even when you score, like when you were on the other team, I just always would cheer for you anyway. Because I was like, that's my best friend. And yes. It's funny though, because we begin competitive out there. It begin a little chippy.
Oh yeah, I mean, those girls are competitive, and it's girls from all different divisions, and
right?
All different skill levels. I mean, there was a girl.
Remember we had that
girl play? She played at like Boston College.
Yeah, and we're all just standing there and watch her and be like, wow.
I mean, if she came on the field without goggles and a mouth guard.
She won't wear no goggles.
Serious.
She was not wearing goggles, y'all. And I am a proponent of the goggle. I love a good goggle mouth guard combination. But no, it's really fun, and it's, you know, it's a little pressure after the game, then, you know, whatever, like, we all are back to normal, but during games, it's, like, intense for all 60 minutes. Those poor refs, too. I remember we had an incident where, you know, someone, the ref asked someone to take off their jewelry or something, and she was like, this is a summer league, I'm a grown woman, and we were like, oop.
Oh, okay. The team, the clapback.
I'm like, ma'am, I know you're not getting paid enough for this. I'm so sorry. But yeah, all good things, all good things. And I'm pumped to get back out there on the field. And again, shout out to LexCon for being such a cool experience. I'm already itching for the next one too, which is going to be in Baltimore. And as y'all know, my fam.
Are we staying at your crib?
Listen, we can stay at my sister's crib. I'll do you one better. We'll stay at my sister's place, which is 10 minutes away from the harbor. And it's right there. And we will cook and save our money because there's food at home and it'll be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining me on my episode today. It's been such a blast to revisit some of our favorite memories and just talk about how far we've come and look towards the future.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we're always finding new ways and new things to do, and I just can't wait for the next adventure.
Yes.
And it's just going to be great. Everything's going
to
be great.
Me too. Yeah, and we're going to be supporting. We need to go to our Swarm game. We're slacking.
Yes, I
don't even know when the season ends. Oh, I feel like a bad fan. We're going to go. This weekend? Is there one this weekend?
Yeah, maybe.
We should go. They have good food.
Definitely.
They stay having good food at those places. We're going to go to a Swarm game. We're going to go to a Blaze game also. So y'all keep an eye out because we'll put some out there. Shout out to our AATL teams. We'll do a PLL game because you got to go when they were here. I haven't gotten to go yet. So I was traveling when they were here.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
So, yeah, all three. We're going to be three out of three on all leagues, supporting everybody because we love everybody. And WPLL, we need them to make their way to ATL2. So it'll be 4 out of 4, and it'll be awesome.
Yes, I'm excited.
Cool. All right, well, thank you again for joining. Thank you all for listening. I will catch you on the next podcast episode. Till then, support your local women's lacrosse team. Support your local lacrosse team in general. And have a good one.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
IL Women Podcast. The source of her sport.